I was reading the update earlier today, and I was quite interested by the comments made there about the approaching winter season. And in a few days' time, the majority of people in the world will be celebrating what is really Samhain, commonly known as the Night of Witches or Halloween. And then shortly after the winter solstice comes another festival, which, quote, the church fathers wisely, unquote, transformed into a Christian festival. I'm talking about the Saturnalia, which they took over and, quote, made it into a Christian festival. But it is all very problematic, isn't it? And it really brings me into the subject that I want to talk about today, although not quite in this context. There was an item on the television news a few days ago, and the story revolved around a historical reenactment of a joust which involved the use of medieval weapons. Now, the jousting tournament was to be filmed for a television program. So, you know, you can imagine the preparation that went into making this program. You know, everything was taken into consideration, and they had the armor specially prepared, you know, for the men. These men obviously had their own armor, but, you know, the producers of the program went over it with a fine tooth comb to make sure that the armor was actually in working order. And they also had the weapons specially prepared, particularly the lances, which were made of a composition wood, which it was designed so that on contact the lance would actually shatter rather than cause the injury to the person involved on the receiving end, or even pierce the arm, you know. So they took everything into consideration, or so they thought. Now, as I say, each man was kitted out in his armour. It's usually their personal armour that they actually owned. And they each rode a heavy horse, usually it was a Shah horse or a Clydesdale, something like that. Because you have to remember that the mounted medieval knight of the centuries ago was the equivalent of the modern battle tank on the battlefield. And so, you know, the producers of the programme, they had these men in their armour, which they'd gone over with a fine-tooth comb. They had these special weapons prepared. And in addition to carrying a lance, the medieval knight would have also carried a heavy battle sword, which would have been a two-handed effort, you know, real heavy, long-bladed sword, about probably 36 to 42 inches long at the minimum. Either that or also be carrying a mace or some other heavy form of implement to hit the other fellow on the head if he got the chance. You know, it was quite a bloodthirsty affair, the medieval joust. Even the ones which are carried out in front of the king, because, you know, the chivalry of days of old, the people, the contestants to the medieval joust were literally fighting for the title that the other fellow had. So, you know, it was a battle to the death, and they were in it for gain. Now, as the filming took place, the area of the joust had been properly prepared. There was this low picket fence between the two areas where the contestants would ride to keep them apart, so that they would actually each follow down a line so they could bring their lances and shields to bear upon the opponent. Now, the two men were hoisted up into the saddles of their war horses, and they would then in position, and they got their horses into a canter and finally into a full gallop. There was then a clash of lances against shields or armour, and as anticipated, the lances just shattered as it was supposed to. But one man came from his horse. By the most awful event, the most awful happening, a sliver of the lance actually penetrated through the visor of the helmet that was worn by one of the contestants. It penetrated his eye and then went into the man's brain. Now, paramedics on the scene rushed to the stricken man, and I believe he was then airlifted to hospital. where he died 7 days later. Now, this was only a mock battle reenactment, but it still cost the man his life. Health and safety experts had gone over the whole procedure beforehand to make sure that absolutely nothing could go wrong. But I say, a man died. And my overall purpose today is to help us to realise just how vulnerable we can become just living our daily lives. And we must realise how much we depend upon the protection that God gives each and every one of us each day. And additionally, particularly, we must follow the instruction given by the Apostle Paul to put on the full armour of God. Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 11. We find out here exactly what is needed. The man referred to in my introduction was only participating in a mock tournament. Ours is a genuine battle for life. And our Saviour said at the time that he was come that we should have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is, in fact, eternal life. So what we're involved in is something which is very, very important. Now, if we go to Ephesians chapter 6 and begin in verse 11, we read the following. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take in the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, it's no good believing that we have armour fit for the purpose. We have to do our part to make sure that our armour is actually properly prepared and fit for the job that we have. It needs to be adequately maintained throughout life. There must be no areas that are unprotected. The medieval knight's armour was of little value if it would have been allowed to corrode and rust away. In those days of bygone armies and bygone wars, armour was scrupulously cleaned, constantly refurbished and maintained. It had to withstand the impact of the lance, of the sword and the archer's arrow. It was literally a life or death situation for the person involved, so they made sure that their armour then was in perfect working order, perfectly fit for the job on hand. Survival on medieval battlefield depended upon the efforts of the medieval knight to maintain their personal armour. And it is like us today. Our efforts today in maintaining our spiritual armour are vital. And this is borne out by the admonition of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 12. If, as commanded, we have put on the armour that God has provided, we must do our part to ensure that we look after that armour and value that which has been given to us. It is for our protection and for our well-being, our spiritual well-being. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, we read the following. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We are commanded to work out our own salvation. This must be done in the right way and in the right attitude. We cannot lazily close our eyes in peaceful slumber. The time for such luxuries is long gone. We need to be looking after our godly armour. And I would like you to turn with me now to the book of James, beginning in chapter 4 and verse 13. Both King Solomon in Ecclesiastes 11:2 and the Apostle James bring out this point quite succinctly. We do not know what evils tomorrow will bring. We are living in an actual period, a time about which the whole history and events of the world will change. They will revolve about this particular time. They will revolve from one age into another. Even though we are hundreds of years from the days of the medieval knight, Now more than ever, we need the armour of God. And in James chapter 4 and verse 13, we read the following. Go now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. And in verse 15, for you ought to say that, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Now we must exercise great care, and doesn't always mean being security conscious, but we do need to consider what tomorrow is likely to bring. We need to be making sure that our armour is fit for the purpose, and it is intact, and it is properly maintained. Armour that is taken for granted and not properly cared for will often fail under the stress of battle. And we are in a mortal combat right now with an enemy who, like any predator, will always attack the weakest at their weakest point. Any fault or weakness in our armour is life-threatening. So we must be zealously taking care of our armour and looking after it. It is that serious. And I'd like to turn back with me now into the book of Ephesians, again in chapter 6. A similar sentiment is found here, is also expressed by Paul in his epistle to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where we read, pray without ceasing. But here the Apostle Paul is perhaps a little more specific. We must be in constant communication with our commander in this particular war that we're in. And in that communication is found here in Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Not only must we ensure that our armour is fully functional and serviceable, but we have to be in regular contact with our Commander-in-Chief. That contact is life, is our lifeline. Without it, we are as good as lost. So God is our rear guard. If we're in constant communication with Him, then He will be there behind us to watch us. And as we go forward in faith, which is our shield, we will use and have the full armour of God at our service.